before the team on duty tonight come up, I got a little SMS halfway through the service. It was from Paul and Irene. After some planning and sign writing, we're happy to announce our engagement at the top of the arch over the new World Cup stadium. Eh? What is it? It's like all these big things, eh? Eh? I asked Essie to marry on the way to tennis. These guys do it on the top of the World Cup stadium. What can't? Things have changed, eh? But, yeah. So Paul and Irene are engaged. That's awesome. I wonder if they did the monkey swing. Because that's operating on the World Cup stadium. Yeah. No, maybe they didn't. Okay. If they did, we get the screaming from there. Can I ask the service team on duty tonight, won't you come up, we take our tithes and offerings? Before you go, I just want to pray over it. Lord, we thank you. We thank you, Father, as you have blessed us so richly. We ask, Lord, as we come to partner with you in this gospel, this wonderful gospel, we pray, Father, that as we give of our finances tonight, Lord, that it would multiply. We pray, Father, that you would give us wisdom in stewarding these finances, but Father, that your kingdom would be extended here in this place in Pinetown. And so, Father, we just pray that you would bless these finances, that, Lord, that not only would your kingdom be extended, but that people would come to know you as their Lord and Savior through our giving. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. Oh, thank you, Trace. Thank you. What really is a privilege for those of you that were here this morning and heard Gavin. It's so wonderful to have him back. He obviously loves us because he came back willingly. You know, we didn't have to force him back. And it's so good to see him in the green and gold. He's my man. But he's got a wonderful story of an opportunity that he had, as some of you have heard, to minister to the Rugby Sevens. That's why they're doing so well, because Gavin's their motivational coach. And But Gavin, really is wonderful to have you with us again. And won't you welcome Gavin as he comes up? He really is a blessing to us. What, you're not jumping up? The Sevens have done nothing for you, eh? Okay. I'm teasing you. No. Won't you stretch out your hands? Let's pray for him this evening. Father, we thank you for this gift that you have brought to us. And Lord, we thank you for the word that you've placed on his heart. And Father, we listen with anticipation. And we listen with joy to the word that he's going to bring from you to us tonight. In Jesus' name. Bless him, Lord. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Gav.
One, two, six. Good evening, everybody. Oh, that was fraught. How's it? Good evening. There we go. Nice to see you guys. We're due to finish at 7:30-ish, correct? Okay. I don't know many of you folks here. I don't know where your life is at. I don't know what the big thing is currently in your life. I don't know if something has happened to you a while ago that has currently become your big issue now. I've got no idea where you're at in your Christian faith, or if you are even a Christian at all. And yet, I need to speak to a group like this, so how on earth will I know what to say? Because with my whole heart, and with the whole heart of the eldership here, we're wanting to touch everyone's life. And so I want to assure you that I've said to God, God, won't you show me, won't you tell me what it is you'd like me to say? And so that's what I'd like to do this evening. For those of you who haven't heard me before, that's probably why you are here. I'm not here as a pastor. I've been a pastor in the past. I'm a pastor kind of thing. Yeah. So I currently run a foundation called the Anything is Possible Foundation. And what I do is I help people find and live their purpose. But we do it in a non-churchy way. And so from one group, from the Springbok Sevens to the polls, more prisoners, to primary schools, to university students. I'm with different people all the time doing the thing I love most. The thing I love most, the thing that I would do even if I wasn't paid, is the thing that fills my day every day. How many of you have got that? How many of you can say that's true for you? 1, 2, 3, 4. Brad putting his hand. You see the way Brad put his hand in the offering? He put it in. There was nothing. He just rolled up his hand. I know that one, but we're going to take up a silent offering. No coins. I found something, though. Having been a Christian for 20 years, been a pastor for about 13 years, I think it is, and 2.5 years ago when I stepped out of the church, as I said this morning, I feel like I've seen something brand new. I have never, ever enjoyed such fulfillment and abundance in my heart as I do now. I've never, ever been as effective as a Christian as I am now. My faith has never had to operate at a consistently high level ever as it is now. 2.5 years ago when we were released from the church, we went from having a good salary to nothing. Nothing. And the God of the Bible who says He can provide has been providing. And you know the way He provides? It doesn't fall from the sky. God will speak to different men and women, and He'll put the idea in your head. You just feel like giving this guy. And a number comes to your mind, and that's what you do. And so when we've got a need, instead of looking up to God saying, God, remember me, I've come to understand that God knew me before I was born. So He knew at this time I'm going to be needing X, Y, and Z. And He left it there waiting for me. So now when I get to the place and I realize what need I have, and I just start looking around where it is, because it's already there. And the life that I'm describing to you will scare the hell out of you in order to put the heaven into you. Because your body and your flesh and your soul don't want to live by faith, you want to live by what you see. I would, to be honest, I would much rather know that I'm going to get a salary at the end of the month that covers all of my expenses. I would much rather know that I've got an investment that's growing and my future secure. I would much rather do it that way. And yet, my father says, focus on the kingdom, Gavin, and I'll focus on getting you the stuff. And so as we left the church to do that, all I had was this dream. I want to help people find their purpose. Now, please understand, I'm not the most holy rolling, glowing in the dark Christian oak. That might shock you. That might shock you. But the truth is, I do sometimes lose my temper. It's true. No. The point I'm trying to make here is that too often we see the person behind this pulpit as being some kind of super guru who's got it all together. I'm here to tell you, I don't have it all together. If it was a men's meeting, I would go a bit further, but because they're ladies, I won't go further. So, I blow it. My faith wobbles. In other words, I'm just like you. And what I've got, you can have. I feel like I can't wipe the silly smile off my face. I feel like every morning, every day, I know that I'm somebody going somewhere. And where I go, I'm just following my dad. And so stuff begins to happen. I've told a lot of the more dramatic things that have happened, but the truth is many things have happened that weren't very dramatic at all. So we don't chase after big dramatic things, because sometimes people's lives have changed one step after the next step after the next step. So we don't have to always be dramatic. But I want to speak to you about the subject of life. Steve, for those of you who don't know, is the father of this house, along with the eldership team. I've got a deep respect for him and for you guys. I want you to know that. I don't see a lot of religion here, a lot of rules, because if it was, I just would be as uncomfortable as a pork chop in a synagogue. So I just have got this tremendous sense of freedom. And that's because leadership and eldership is like air conditioning. They set the atmosphere. And I want to thank you for setting this atmosphere for so many people. I want to talk to you a little bit about life. Steve has asked me to come and speak about how to live your dream. We speak about the dream a lot, but I want to focus a little bit about this living, how you're meant to live and this whole thing. And what I really would like is just to, before I get into this, how many of you have heard me speak this morning or 2 weeks ago about finding your dream, living your purpose? How many of you have heard me speak there? Won't you just, would you keep your hands up? In fact, would you please stand? If you've heard me this morning or any other time, with your hands up. Stand up. Oh, thanks. So you can put your hands down, but you've got to stay standing. Now I'd like your hands up if, and I'm not going to point you out, so you can relax. If you've got questions that you'd love to have answered before I fly away. Put hands up. Wonderful. Now before you put them down, instead of me preaching, those folks with their hands in the air, would you guys have the courage to simply ask me your question? I don't want, if you're not comfortable to, you don't have to. I'm not going to call anyone out, so you can chill. If you would like, in fact, if those of you got questions, won't you mind writing it down on a piece of paper? You don't even have to put your name there, and just bring it to one of the guys. Is that okay, Brad? Bring it to one of the guys in front, or you can just pass it forward, whichever. All right? Cool. You can take your seats. Is there anyone who'd like to start with a question? Anyone at the back here? You've heard me speaking for a while and you said, oh, it's all good, but I've got this question. You can stay seated.
Okay, I want to fulfill my dream. I know what my gifting is. I know what God's called me to do. The problem is, how do I take that first step? What do I do?
Okay, how do you take your first step? So you found your dream. You found your purpose. Now remember, the first time, remind me of your name. Mike. I won't hold that against you. Mike. No, I'm only kidding. The first time you see your purpose or your dream, it's only good for one thing, and that's direction. Because the first time you see your dream, it's very vague. It's kind of like Mike and I getting in a car and we drive towards the Drakensberg. And as we're driving along, you can just give it to someone in front. Thank you. As we're driving along, I see the outline of the mountains. And it's just the outline, the silhouette. And I say to Mike, are there rivers there? Yeah, Gavin, there are lots of rivers. But I can't see any rivers. Why? Because I'm too far away. And if I stay where I am, I will never see the rivers. I've got to keep walking towards it. Because the more I walk, the closer I get. And so your purpose that you see, this dream. Now, not every dream and desire that's in your heart is from God, but there are some that are from God. And if you're not sure, come to one of the eldership or leadership. This subject is one where people can get a little bit weird. You know, this is where a guy trades his wife in. You know, he's 40 years old for 220s. So please don't get weird. That's why you've got leadership here, okay? And so what you need to do once you've found your purpose is you need to do something. Now, what it's going to be something different for you. And so let me give an example. A woman came to see me. Her dream is this creche she wanted to start. All we did with her is help her to take a first step. And her first step was to go and research creches in the area where she wanted to start and get some information. When she did that, she happened to bump into people who spoke to her. Then she happened to bump into one or two moms. Then she happened to bump into someone who said, look, I've got this big lounge and I've been thinking about actually making it a creche, but I don't want to actually do it. I just want to make the room available. And I found this, when you take your first step, something happens. It's like a Holy Ghost magnet goes off and the stuff that you need or the people that you need suddenly come next to you. So, and I want to say this, to get from where you are to where it is God wants you to be will require one thing more than anything else. Character. Who you are right now is the thing that separates you from your dream. But if you keep learning to live the Bible and you keep choosing to obey what the Bible says. So when someone offends you, you choose to forgive. When something really bad happens, you choose to let go. When you keep doing that, your character starts to change. And the stronger your character is, the more you start to walk. Have you got it? So what is the first thing you need to do? Well, it's unique to your purpose. Let me give you an example from my life. Many years ago, I felt called to preach. And so the first thing I did, and this is now a long time ago, I went out to Woolworths and I bought a blazer. Because in our church, all the pastors wear suits and blazers. I kid you not. So I bought, and it just cost me quite a bit of money. So I put my double-breasted blazer on. I had my tie, yes, and I felt the part. And then, you know, people said, well, what have you bought this blazer for? I said, for preaching. Oh, well, who are you preaching for? I said, I got no idea yet. I just know I'm going to, so I'm getting dressed for it. Do something. Next question.
How do you know when God is giving or telling you what your purpose is? How do you know?
Great question. Next one. No, I'm only kidding. Brad's going to answer this question. There is a big difference between knowledge or between knowing and faith. God has called us to live life, this life. See, God tells you the way you're meant to live life. And when you live life the way He tells you to, you naturally walk step after step towards your purpose. And your life gets fulfilled. You love it. When you don't live the way God tells you to live, all you can do is get a job. To get money. To pay the bills. Then you wake up in the morning and you think, oh, God, another day. And you can't wait for lunchtime. You pray for 5 o'clock. You come home. The dog's barking. The goldfish doesn't even look at you anymore. You go to sleep. You wake up. And the next day, it's the same thing again and again and again. And all the time, you think there must be something more. The problem is you're not living the way you were designed to live. People say, you know, life is tough. The way life is today is not the way it was intended to be. In fact, in the beginning, Father created life. He created people who weren't even able to die. There weren't even thorns in the beginning. Things were all cool. And Jesus came to put right what was messed up, and He's saying, I've told you how to live. Now I've showed you how to live. Watch me live the way I've lived. And you will have so much joy and fulfillment that we will call that abundant life. So how do you know, which is the question, how do you know when God's speaking to you? God has put into every man and every woman His will. It's almost as if I'd like you to imagine we're in heaven's factory, and there's a conveyor belt, and the conveyor belt goes right to the end. And on the conveyor belt are men and women. And our Father is standing at the one side of the conveyor belt, and he's checking, he's kind of doing quality checks. Fingers, yeah, this, that, this one black, this one white, this one Asian. And everything's handmade. And an angel comes up, maybe a bit of a doff angel, and he says, Lord, what are you doing? Angel, I'm making human beings. What are human beings? Well, they're kind of mini-me's. They're going to be like God, except they're going to be me, like just smaller versions. Why? This is a baby angel, maybe. And he said, well, I want my kingdom, the way it is here, to exist on earth as well. And the angel says, that's a good idea. What do you want these human beings to do? Well, I want them to do a whole bunch of stuff, and that's general things. But this one here, God says, I want to do something specific. And the angel says, how will this person know what it is you want them to do? And so Father leans across into this big blue bucket, and he pulls out something the angel's never seen before. And he drops it into this person's head. Won't you say head? When you ask Jesus into your heart, it's really into your head. You don't ask Jesus into your pump. Now, I know we say, Jesus, come into my heart. I understand that. But Jesus doesn't move into your pump. If you had a heart transplant, you'd have to get born again. Okay. So, he doesn't come into your heart speaks about your mind, your subconscious, your soul. Okay? So, he drops this desire into your soul. And the angel says, what was that? And he says, desire. He says, this is the thing. I'm going to put a picture into this person's head of the thing that I want them to do specifically. And the angel says, well, couldn't they miss it? And the Father smiles and he says, they're going to see this picture their whole life. The only thing they're going to battle with is they're going to think that it's just them. You've seen your dream. You've seen your purpose often. And you've thought, well, isn't this just me? Duh. God says, I will put my will for your life in a place where I know you couldn't miss it. It's in your head. Now, he put desires there. What are desires? Desires are pictures that matter so much to you. What are the pictures that live in your head that matter stacks to you? For me, it's helping people find purpose. When I walk around people who don't know why they're alive, it stirs me. And so how do you know that God's spoken to you about that? Because the way you know it's God, and you can know this even if you aren't a Christian, because the same is true for everybody. There's something on the inside. You just know that you know that you know that you know. And how will you know? You know because at some stage you've got to act in it. And when you act in it, stuff starts to happen. Most Christians want to stand still and see stuff happen so that then they can step into it. It doesn't work like that. And if you take a step and nothing happens and another one and nothing happens and you think, oh, well, this wasn't my purpose. I've actually missed it. Well, now you know what you're not. I know of a guy who spent 18 years trying to get into the ministry. He's now got to wake up and realize he's not a ministry gift. And that's good. He knows now what he's not. Okay? Next question.
When your path seems to become foggy on the way to your dream and nothing seems to be going in the right direction, how do you stand, remain consistent? What do you do when the situation is stagnant and God is silent?
Sure. I'd like to talk to you from my life because we've been there. We give up everything. We're doing the thing God's called us to do. And God moves dramatically, and then suddenly the bills aren't being paid. But God, why? And the next month, the bills are just, you know, we're battling for money again. But God, you're in this. Why? And the next month, and the next month, Mary, my wife, goes to the shop, paying something on the credit card, and it won't go. It's maxed out. God, why? I don't understand. Following God, you're going to have to understand that you're going to have to follow His mystery and majesty by faith, because you won't understand at some stage. So when you're going along and everything seems to have broken down and everything seems a mess, you're going to have to learn to fly by the instruments. When you're in an airplane and you're flying in clouds and heavy fog or mist or whatever, and you can't see, you've then got to look at your instruments and trust your instruments. And so very often in my life, we've had to say, God, you've said you'd bless me, yet my bank account is empty. But I choose to believe what you've said no matter what I see over there. And you know, am I full of faith every day? No. When my wife is full of faith, I'm typically fraught. And when I'm full of faith, she's typically down. And we kind of help each other along this way. It's like that with you too, isn't it? See, that's real. Okay? Did I answer that question? Okay, next question.
I want to know what God has for me in my job. I'm not really sure what my purpose is for Him.
Why don't you just tell me that again?
I want to know what God has for me in my job. I'm not really sure what my purpose is for Him.
All right. So maybe you find yourself in a work scenario. You're working for a company of some kind, or you're doing something like that, and the truth is you don't really like what you're doing. So do you just leave? Please look at me. The answer is no. Do you just say goodbye and, oh, especially if you found your dream. I've seen my dream. Hallelujah. You get all spiritual and now you just run off. Please, that's not what you're meant to do. The Bible doesn't just tell you about having a dream and a picture of your preferred tomorrow. It tells you how you're meant to live in order to get there. It tells you about having wisdom. It tells you about being faithful. It tells you a whole bunch of stuff about how to live. So if you're in the workplace, number one, be faithful. If you're in a work that you don't like, that really isn't for you, then number one, find what your purpose is. How do you find that? Simple. You get to a place where you are quiet. I often used to go away by myself, and my wife would tell people, Gavin's gone away with his father and his dream, or with his father and his future. And I'd get away with my dad with no cell phone, no radio, no TV. We'd just be quiet. I'd just be quiet. And when the quietness surrounds you, gets into you, it's amazing. All of the voices. You know when you hear a song on the radio? You're lying in bed at night and it's all quiet and you can still hear. You try to get the song out of your head. Sex bomb, sex bomb. Oh, no, that one. Are you kidding? When you get quiet enough to let the quietness that is outside come in, then you will be left with a heart, a mind, that is empty except for its natural contents. And when you are quiet, your purpose screams at you. And when you get quiet, simply ask this, if I never had to work for money again, I could just work because I love this thing that I'm doing, what is it that I would do? And when you close your eyes and you think about answering that question, you will see a movie on the television screen of your heart, of your mind. And it's a movie where you're an actor or an actress. You can see yourself doing stuff. I remember clearly lying in the bath years ago. It was a winter's night. I remember because I remember my toes. Okay, that was separate. And I remember just my mind dreaming off. And I could imagine myself. Imagine hanging out with some rugby players. With some big name rugby guys. And telling them about Jesus. And how to live. The way we've learned how to live. And I began to see myself going here. I saw myself traveling with them. And it was just this dream. Last year in May, I get on a plane with the Springbok Sevens and we go to Edinburgh because I happen to meet a guy for an early dinner and he brings a friend with him. He's Paul True. And Paul and I just connect. Long story short, he says, "Would you do a proposal, please? We want you to join the squad as a motivational coach, motivational speaker, and our life coach." So long story short, we get to Edinburgh and we had a great team. We were going to win the World Cup. And here I was at Murrayfield. And I'm in the tunnel. And the Springboks are here. And the All Blacks are over here. And the crowd's pumping. And I'm thinking, what on earth did I do to get here? When you choose to act on your dream, honey, anything is possible. Anything. Anything. What was the question? So what do you do if you're in a job that you hate? Find your purpose. And then once you've found it, write it down. And once you've captured it, start to act on it in your spare time. So I used this illustration earlier. If you are wanting to have your own orange orchard where you grow oranges and make orange juice or whatever, you tell me, well, you know, I want to do that, but I can't because I've got this job and I can't leave my job because I need my job to survive. I like to put it this way. If you want to survive, having a job will help you survive. But if you're going to live, you're going to need a dream. And so how do you do the whole orange orchard thing? Well, maybe on a Saturday and one or two nights in the week, you spend that time planting orange trees. And the next Saturday and the next two nights, like on a Monday and Thursday, you go and water it. And you go and study and find out about orange trees. Until eventually there's so many orange trees growing that now you can no longer do your job and this. And the transition becomes natural. All right? But if you aren't called to the job you're in and you really don't like it, don't let your boss know. You know what I mean? You come in, "Oh, I just hate this job." Sorry, you are a bad reflection of your father. "Oh, but I hate this." Well, then you got to move on. There's no gun to your head. And have a plan to move on. Maybe you'll have to endure this for another year while your plan comes into being. But you know what? As soon as you've got a picture of what your future can be, you can endure it. I was a school teacher for 6 years. First 2 years, I loved it. Second 2 years were really quite okay. The third 2 years, 5 and 6, I just thought, "Someone please shoot me." Because I'd been studying while I'd been teaching. And all I wanted to do was preach. I'd get up and teach a math lesson. 1 + 1 = 2. You know, you and Jesus equals salvation. And on three separate occasions, the whole class got born again, including on one occasion, 5 Muslims. By 10 o'clock the next morning, I was in the headmaster's office. I was threatened with my job 3 times. You see, my passion, my dream, my purpose was desperately trying to come out. I had to try to keep it back in that context. Does that make sense? And so when I was, eventually, long story short, I thought, this is the time I'm going to be leaving. teaching, and I'm going to go into the ministry. I write out my letter of resignation. I didn't give it in yet. I held on to it. And I had a term's leave. So I went over to Austria and Germany to explore my purpose there. And there's a whole big story to that as well. And I just believe God's going to show up. He's going to show me where He wants me to minister here. Someone's going to offer me a job, or I'll start something. And then I'll come back. I can hand my resignation in. So I go there, and God does use me. And our church there does ask me to join them as the campus pastor. And 2 days before I'm due to go home. Now, bear in mind, my wife came with me for 3 weeks, and then she went home. I stayed for 3 months. It was massive, massive sacrifice. How did we finance the trip? We sold our car. What were we going to drive when we got back? We weren't sure. Some might say that was stupid. I just called it committed. And so, 2 days before I'm going to come home, massive, massive sacrifice. Don't worry, that's just something over there. You can look here. I was going to say something falls down. You see, it got me. And 2 days before I'm going to leave, the laws of Austria change. And now, no company or institution is allowed to employ any foreigner unless they've got X number of local people on their staff first. And Sean could no longer take me on. And I'm going home thinking, that's what I want to do. I was broken. I had to go back to teaching for another 6 months. I was devastated. And all the time, God sitting in the corner, looking at me, smiling, thinking, suck it up. You see, if you don't know how to go through hardships and keep smiling, what are you going to teach when you get up here? If no one's hurt you really badly, and you battled to get past it, and now you are healed, what are you going to tell people when you get here? The most hurt people should be the people who get up here to preach. They've got to be hurt and healed. So that they don't just tell you stuff, but they can say, you see this scar? Let me tell you how I got it. Okay?
What about fear? Is fear of change not the number one reason to miss one's purpose? What about fear?
What is fear? Fear is a picture of what can go wrong. What is faith? A picture of what can go right. Next question.
It's just someone wrote a little note. Thank you for a t-shirt. Yeah.
That's fine. By the way, the Springbok Sevens, I helped them formulate their mission statement and their vision. Do you know what the Springbok Sevens official mission statement says? Very simple. The Springbok Sevens exist to change and touch people's lives. I got no idea how they came up with that mission statement. Any other questions? Any questions come up now? We don't often get to ask questions. Go ahead. Highway Radio. Following your heart and following your mind. It's an excellent question. The Bible says that, you see, I've been telling you that God will put a picture of what He wants you to do inside of your heart. The Bible also says that your heart is deceitful above all things. And so, especially if you're a younger Christian and you're wondering, how does this thing all work out? Please don't become isolated and just do what you think you're meant to do all by yourself. Walk with other people here. Because as you get committed and stuck here, and the elders and the other guys here, other mature folks can help you down the road, that becomes a safety net. And then you can explore, and if you do mess up, it's not going to be a big problem. They can help you back up. Your heart. I'm talking about your spirit man. The real you. This is where the Holy Spirit lives, in your spirit. In your spirit, you will just know that God's wanting you to do X, Y, and Z. In your head is saying, are you mad? I kid you not, there were times I'd wake up in the middle of the night. I'm going to the bathroom. After we've left, and I've started the foundation, and I think to myself, what on earth have I done? I've got no idea I'm going to pay the bills this month. Am I mad? And there's this continual battle between your head and your heart, between the nature of sin, or your sin nature, and your spirit nature. It's like having two dogs. Which one do you follow? The one you feed most. Any other questions? Go ahead. Is it possible that your purpose and your dreams can be two separate things? In my understanding, what is your name? Johnny. Johnny, in my understanding, your purpose comes in the form of a dream. Now, every dream that you have, is it part of your purpose? Not necessarily. You might have a dream to have this beautiful, beautiful Ferrari. This massive, how many of you have got, the men especially, got a dream of having a massive, beautiful Ferrari? Massive mansion in Umhlanga. How many of you? Yeah, you see, of course. Your flesh also has got desires. You see, here's the thing about your dream. You will know your dream or your purpose is from God, because when you are living out your dream or your purpose, other people benefit. When you live your dream, you must understand it's not about you. Your dream has got nothing to do with you. When you do your dream, people benefit. So, remember the Wright brothers? Their father was a Methodist minister. They heard about God. They heard about the Bible. You know what burnt in their hearts? They would see the birds and they would think, I'm sure we can do that somehow. People would mock and laugh. They just pressed on and pressed on. That's all that burnt on the inside of them. Imagine if they had said, I'll just give it up. Imagine if they never took a first step. I would have had to drive here. Every great thing starts in the form of an idea. At one stage, Mickey Mouse was just an idea in Walter's head. At some stage, the Mona Lisa was just an idea in Leonardo da Vinci's head. At some stage, the New Testament was just an idea in the Apostle Paul's mind. Imagine if he never acted on that idea. That idea, that picture, that soaked in passion is your dream, is your purpose. And if you find it, don't just run off. Go and share it with one of the elders here. Let people test it. Let them check it out. It becomes a safety net. Does that answer your question? You sure? Anyone else? Great. What is your name? Is that okay? All right, and Thea over here. no. Great question. What if you find your purpose, and after a while of doing it, you kind of get bored? Is there another purpose? The answer is no. No to both. Doing your purpose, you will never get bored. And you don't have a second purpose. You see, your purpose doesn't change. Your purpose remains the same. The way you express your purpose can change often. Imagine a kettle. A kettle's purpose is to boil water. And you most often find it in the kitchen. But you will sometimes find it in other rooms too. But wherever you find it, it'll be doing the same thing. Wherever, people say to me, hey, so what's up this week? What are you doing this week? Same as last week. I might be doing a preaching in church is something I haven't done in a long time. But I do that. If you had to eavesdrop on some of the meetings I have or motivational sessions I do, it's the same message. I found it. And every time I do it, I just dig it. Any more questions? Go ahead.
I'd just like to know, you know when you said that you went overseas to Austria and you thought you'd come back and you'd go to a job and you sold the car. Now, I'd like to know, do you think you missed it there? That maybe you shouldn't have gone or not sold your car because you still had to work?
Your name is? Tony. Tony just asked a very good question. With regards to the example I gave about the fact that we sold our car to finance a trip to Austria, and then we came back and the car was gone, the money was gone, we had to go back to our work. Did we miss it? God, what happened there? We acted in faith. We stepped out. We weren't reckless. We waited and we prayed for several months. We got other pastors praying with us. We got family and friends, mature Christian friends, praying with us independently so that they could say, you know what, we carry the same sense, the same witness. And so we were all hearing God together. So we weren't reckless. We came back and I remember thinking, well, did we miss it? You know, the answer is, I still don't know. Honestly, when I get to heaven, that's one of the things I want to say. Lord, what about the car thing? I don't know. You know, the question of being responsible. You see, everything that God tells you to do, there's always a balancing thing that you need to do. Everything that you do scripturally has always got, you've got to keep it in tension. So, stepping out in faith has got to be balanced with responsibility as well. So if I just decided we're selling the car to finance the trip and I haven't spoken to anyone, hadn't prayed about it, that would be irresponsible. That's not what we did. Do I understand how God works all the time? No. That's where you've got to follow in faith. And most times my prayer goes like this. God, I got no idea what you're doing. If I were you, I would do things very different. But you said it, and so I'm doing it. If we lose everything, if we die, then we die here. But I'm doing what I believe you told me to do. I think our time is up, isn't it? Should we pray? That's a good thing. End the church service with a prayer. Holy Spirit, I ask that you would come and that you have already come upon men and women in this place, and that you would show them that thing that you designed them to do. Won't you stir up in their spirit a desire to do more than survive and have a job? Won't you stir up something in their heart that says, God, I want to know why you made me, and then I'm committing myself to live it. Holy Spirit, won't you ruin these people forever? That going back to a job is never an option anymore because they know there's a higher way. Father, won't you keep them locked in this body, in this spiritual house? That they will learn how to live the way you've told us to live so that we can cover the distance between us and our dreams. And Lord, I want to bless Steve and Janet that lead this team. I want to bless the eldership here and I bless this church. I ask that, Lord, the peace you've placed on me, I now release and I leave on this congregation. I ask that you would burst forth heaven and pour out financial blessing. I ask that you would speak to business people and all kinds of people, but in particular business people who aren't even in this church, to give money liberally and generously. In the name of Jesus. Amen. My time with you this weekend is over. I'm back next weekend. So if you've had enough of me, then you're going to have to suckle through next weekend too. But I'm back next weekend. The word that I felt on my heart for you folks last time, this time, and it'll be next time, I hear the Holy Spirit saying, walk. In other words, you've heard, do it. Do something. But you're part of a family. Come and talk to the elders. Come and talk to the deacon so that you can have a safety net so you don't mess up your life. But take a step. I double dare you. Amen.
Just a reminder, there's cappuccinos, coffees.